Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We'll read just a few verses and open in a word of prayer and get right to the message this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Father in heaven, we come to you this morning knowing that we are in the presence of the great and mighty God of the universe, Creator God Jehovah. And Lord Jesus, we look to Holy Writ, we look to the Word of God for answers this morning. Thank you for entrusting us and giving us the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, may we allow our lives to be adapted to fit the Word of God, not the other way around. May we not manipulate Scripture this morning. And as I preach on believers' baptism and that great doctrine, I pray, God, that it be abundantly clear. I wouldn't muddy it up in any way. Lord, we pray that through it all, Jesus would be exalted, the gospel would be preached, and others would come to Christ, either here in the auditorium or listening to a radio broadcast or even by way of live stream this morning. God bless our people that could not be here due to sickness. We pray for Ann and we pray for Loretta. We pray for Mike, who is actually en route and he has to be back for the State Police Academy by 3 o'clock this afternoon. God, would you bless him? And Lord, those that are away from us for the weekend, please protect them and bring them back safely. But God, right here, right now in this auditorium, would you meet with us in a mighty way? And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I was looking for Marjean Rowe. Is she in here this morning? I talked to her yesterday at Meyer, but I don't see her here, and she can't always get here because of her age. But Marjean led me to the Lord, and I wanted to give her some kudos this morning. In fact, I had planned on giving her a round of applause. Were it not for her, now listen, she taught Vacation Bible School 9 months pregnant. She was I think I said this one other time. She's not here. She's probably watching. She was as big as a house. She was. I was a fifth grade boy in that Vacation Bible School. First time I'd ever been to Vacation Bible School at that church. And on Tuesday morning, she presented the gospel. And I waited afterwards, and she led me to Jesus. I praise God she comes to this church now. I can take you to the spot and show you the very spot. I don't remember the exact date on the calendar, but I know it was Tuesday, and I can take you to that spot. Sometimes I fluctuate between 1967 and 1968, and every time I count it up, I come up with a different year, so I'm not sure. God knows when it is, all right? And I thank God for Marjean Rowe putting her discomfort aside and coming and teaching a bunch of fifth and sixth grade snot-nosed boys. And one little boy there received Jesus as her Savior, and I'm her pastor now. Glory to God. Amen. Ron, you know, and you know the person that led you to the Lord? Boy, thank God for them. Amen. The person that planted that seed, and maybe you got saved all by yourself, kneeling down by your bed, but somebody told you about Jesus. You thank God for them. Ron Pennington, the crew that's coming up to seal the parking lot tonight, the head of the crew, who is a pastor, said, "Is there a Ron Pennington in your church?" I said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. Does he owe you money?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Yeah, there is." And he said, "I can't wait. I hope I get to see him." I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "I wouldn't be in the ministry if it were not for Ron and Sharon Pennington." You're going to see. They're going to try to make it for the evening service tonight. Does the name Griffiths, Carl Griffiths, mean anything to you? Okay, that's who it is. And you know what? We're all planting seed. One way or another, we're called of God. We're to be soul winners, telling others of Jesus. Hey, Kyle, who got saved on Thursday night, I'm thinking I'm breaking new ground. Man, these guys don't know anything about the gospel. They had all kinds of questions. We talked for a long time. In fact, we sat in the sunshine in their dining room, sweat running down my forehead, sweat running down their forehead, but nobody wanted to quit. They just kept asking questions. And you know what he told me? Tony Sherman witnessed to him years ago. One of our teenagers, a graduate of Maplewood, now he lives downstate and goes to another church downstate. God forgive him for that. But he planted that gospel seed. Were you able to get a hold of him this week and tell him he got saved? Did he shout amen or was it a text? You know what? You don't know. You just don't know. Okay, I want to preach on baptism this morning. One of the two ordinances of the church. I'm going to try to cover everything that I possibly can cover in the short amount of time that I have to cover it in. Jesus, what we read here, we've already read the first several verses. John the Baptist is proclaiming the God, or is preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He's the forerunner. He is the, I don't want to use the term advanced man, but he's the Old Testament prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophets that's making straight the way, preparing the way, preparing the hearts of the men and women of Israel for the coming Messiah. He was doing the best he could. And those that would repent of their sin, he signified that by baptizing them in the River Jordan. Now, that wasn't salvation. Let me read on. Verse 4. Let me pick up with verse 4. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I read that and I'm thinking, man, that is a sight. That had to be a sight. That is an old-time preacher, man, who is nothing but a voice in the wilderness. He's not dressed like everybody else. He's dressed with a suit of camel's hair. It just doesn't feel comfortable. Doesn't sound like it. And a leather belt around his way. And he's living on locusts, big grasshoppers, and wild and honey. And he's proclaiming the Messiah is about to come. Verse 5 says, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, people hungry for that old-time religion, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, I don't think this is an understatement. I believe it was thousands. So much so that the religious hierarchy took note of it. Verse 7 says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now, he's not pulling any punches. He is an old-time preacher, man. He's calling them snakes. They're religious leaders. You guys are slithering snakes leading people to the fires of hell. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. He's calling even the religious leaders to Jesus Christ. He's calling them to repentance. He's saying, whosoever will may come. Man, you may be a false preacher and a false prophet, but you can come to Christ. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. So he says here, let go of your religion. Let go of your pride. Let go of your prejudices. You can't rest in your spiritual heritage. And you can't have faith in your ritual. It will never be enough. Hey, let me say this. The way to heaven is not through Rome. It is not through Salt Lake City. The way to heaven is not through Washington. It is not through Lansing. The way to heaven is not through Harvard or Princeton. It's over a hill called Calvary. Amen. On the cross, the Son of God, 2,000 years ago, provides eternal life, blood atonement, for any man, any woman, any child who's old enough to know right and wrong, will repent of their sin and turn to God. God will save them. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That literally is what the word gospel means. Good news. All the work is done. Good news. You don't have to work your way to heaven. Good news. There's a Redeemer. There is a Savior. The Son of God. Good news. You don't have to rest in your own righteousness to go to heaven. You get Christ's righteousness in order to go to heaven. I've said this so many ways and so many times, and I don't know how else to say it. But because I got saved in fifth grade, when God the Father looks down and sees this born-again Son of God, this one that was adopted into the family, this wild branch that was grafted into the vine, when he looks down and he sees me fail, and he sees me sin, and he sees me take God too lightly, he looks and he sees me through the prism of the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Those of you that have been recently saved, you're going to heaven because the price has already been paid for your sin. And you came to him, pure and simple. Let's read on here. Sadducees, Pharisees. Verse 10 says, now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Judgment is coming. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. By the way, H2O cannot wash away sin. That is the most foolish thought in all of the world. To think that people that get baptized up here in this tank, that water is somehow holy water and washes away their sin. That does not come from the Word of God. No how, no way. That water comes from about 180 feet down, right over here in this well. It's a good well. It is pure water, but it isn't strong enough to wash away anybody's sin. John the Baptist baptized in the muddy River Jordan. That water couldn't wash away sin. It's symbolic. I got to get to this so I can start preaching that. He says, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I. Some of them wanted to worship John the Baptist. Some were saying, are you Elijah? And he says, oh, no. There's somebody coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. This sounds like an old-time preacher. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the other most parts of the earth. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Cloven tongues of fire. The church is born. Man, it's alive. And it's going on for God. And the head of the church is none other than Jesus Christ. We stumble. We mess up. We fall into sin. We fall away from God. But we're still the church of Jesus Christ. We come back to him because we're genuinely born again. We ask for forgiveness. And he's there every time. What a long-suffering Savior we have. Amen. And he'll never forget you. I witnessed to a truck driver this last week. I was hoping he'd be here this morning. I don't see him. He might be here. I told him all about Jesus. He stepped out of the truck, and I testified and told him how he could be born again. And he seemed to be tender, and I shared it with him. And then I called him by name and said, would you like to right now? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, yes, I do. And I kind of taken back. Well, I thought he was going to say the normal, well, I'm a good guy kind of thing. I said, well, how do you know? He said, you led me to the Lord in my living room. I said, I am sorry. And I told him this, I may be forgotten, but God has not forgotten you. I said, when was that? He said, 20 years ago. I said, oh, okay. Man, I told him, I don't know what I had for breakfast this morning, so I'm off the hook, right? But just the fact that God has, he'll never forget you. Never. Kyle and Sheena, you just got saved. You probably sinned since you got saved. The Woods family, I know you sinned since you got saved. The truth is, I have sinned. I went to the altar this morning and confessed my sin to God. Sometimes I'm slothful, lazy. Sins of omission. I hate. That's a sin. In my heart, I steal. It's always the heart thing. That's a sin. In my heart, I covet. That's a sin. And in my heart, I hesitate to say this, but you know your preacher is just a sinner saved by grace. I have not cussed. I don't know how long it's been. I have no idea. Decades. But I confess to you in my heart I have. I've gotten angry. But what a wonderful Savior we have. I think I ought to preach on baptism here pretty quick. Let's get to it. Right? Let's go to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus. Man, I love that. I actually circled that in my Bible. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Okay, let me just kind of build this foundationally real quick. And I don't know, I've only got another 15 minutes, so I'm going to try to be quick as I can about this. For the Church of Jesus Christ, and I can show you this in the Bible. There are two ordinances for the Church of Jesus Christ. Being a Baptist, being a born-again Baptist, we don't have a lot of ritual. We have a lot of joy. We're serious about God. We worship God. We reverence God. But at the same time, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we have that balance. And some of the recent people this spring, that was what they brought it out. And I remember what it was like the first time I went to a church this like this church. I couldn't believe that people were laughing in the auditorium. Another thing that struck me is everybody was carrying their Bible. I'm thinking, wow, this is weird. You know, and nobody, they weren't whispering in the auditorium. That's kind of how I grew up. Like, we weren't supposed to wake anybody up. Like, maybe there's some dead people there and we're not supposed to wake them up in the services. So, and then when somebody said amen, man, I almost fell off my chair, you know, off my pew. But you know, the joy of the Lord is here. God is good to us every which way possible. And there's two ordinances for the church. We take the Bible seriously. Two orders. That's the word ordinances. After salvation, Great Commission. But after salvation, it's baptism, first step of obedience, and then the Lord's table. We call it believer's baptism. Both baptism, let's picture it over here, and the ordinance of the Lord's table. We do it about four times a year here. We're not told how often we have to do it, but both of them are sermon illustrations. Both of them are testimonies. When someone is baptized, believer's baptism, it's called believer's baptism in the Word of God because it's for believers, not babies. Nowhere in the Bible will you find babies being baptized. That started in 1439, all right? And the sprinkling, that is not baptism. That is not in the Word of God. The word, I might just unload the whole thing right here, right? The word baptize is the Greek word baptizo, and it means to submerge, to submerse. And it is a picture. We're going to be baptizing tonight, I think. It's a picture of the death and burial under the water and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this baptismal candidate, this believer, is saying, I have put my faith and I have put my trust in the Jesus of the death, burial, and resurrection. He went to the cross for me, he went to the grave for me, and he rose again for me. Amen. It is a picture. It's a testimony. It's an ordinance. It's all about the gospel. Yeah, over here is the Lord's table. The broken bread, the broken body of Christ. The fruit of the vine is the shed blood of Jesus. Jesus said, when you do this, you remember me. You remember what I have done for you. It is a picture of the gospel. You see, without the gospel, there's no Great Commission. What good does it do to disciple unbelievers? They're going to hell. First step is to preach the gospel to every creature. Do not minimize preaching the gospel. Then they're to get baptized. It doesn't add grace. It doesn't add to their salvation, but then they get baptized, and after that they can partake in the Lord's table. But we disciple people. We disciple these young converts and teach them the things of God. That is so important. That builds mature Christians. Baptism is the first step of obedience. And then God is able to bless that young convert. Being born again, that's the absolute first thing that has to happen. They need to be born into the family of God in order to be baptized. People get it turned around. They get the cart before the horse. They think that baptism is salvation. Somehow that water cleans them up, and that's their born-again experience. And I don't want to pop your bubble, but that is not what baptism is. That is not what born-again is. It's for believers. Okay, I preached my whole message without looking at a single point here. Pretty much, but I just want to share just a couple of things. Who is to be baptized? And obvious, I've already answered it. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It is believers. The saved are to be baptized. Without being born again, there's no hope. It's just all religion. If you go to a church and people are getting born again at that church, something's missing, and it's the good news of Jesus Christ. You look in the book of Acts, you look at the early church, they were all about preaching. They were all about sharing. They were all about bringing people to Christ that their sins might be forgiven. It is not infant baptism. I want to say that again. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a baby being baptized. You say, well, where'd that come from? Denominationalism, religianity. They told me that I had water sprinkled on my head at the Presbyterian Church, but I think it was Pastor Blackburn, I believe. But you know what? I don't remember it. Wasn't my decision. Didn't wash away sin. No picture of the gospel. What is sprinkling? You won't find that anywhere in the Word of God either. no picture of the gospel. Man, it was just, and then people think that is how they become a Christian. And you won't find that anywhere in the Word of God. I'll give you $10,000 if you can show me that in the Word of God. It's not there. Salvation is by way of the blood. So only the born again have the right to be baptized. Believers should be baptized for several reasons. Matthew chapter 28, we don't have time to turn there. It is the Great Commission. It's a command. We're commanded. First step of obedience. You can read about it again in Acts chapter 2. It's an example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It is identification. Go to Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We identify with Jesus. We are not ashamed of Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 4 and verse 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Very words I say when I baptize somebody. For if we have been planted together in the likeness, now you might circle that word, the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It is identification. It is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. It influences others to come to Christ and identify with Jesus as well. When a man gets baptized, that preaches. Other men say, man, that guy's 35 years old. He's getting baptized. Man, I knew that guy before he put his faith in Christ. He was a hard drinking, beer drinking, cigar smoking. His life's changed. I don't know what's going on. And there he is up there getting baptized like he's not ashamed of Jesus. You know, Christ is not for old ladies and little kids alone. It's for some people with backbone as well. And God bless the men of Fundamental Baptist Church. We have a plethora of them. Is that a real word? We have a lot of them, is what we have. And some of them are big and broad-shouldered, and I'd love to go. You know what? I'm in a fight. I want to be shoulder to shoulder with these guys because they got a backbone. Not ashamed of Christ. The believer is to be baptized. You say, when's he supposed to be baptized? Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts in chapter 2, verse 41. Day of Pentecost, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day they were baptized. Page over to chapter 16 and verse 33. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway, right away, that same hour. Baptism should be an immediate response of obedience. It's not something you need to pray about it. Don't say, Pastor, now I'm born again, I'm going to pray about being baptized. It really shouldn't be that way. It should be, Christ commanded it, I'm okay with it, I'm going to follow through. He did something great for me, he gave me eternal life, and took me into his family. I'm not going to be ashamed of him, and I will identify with him. And it is a big deal, and I want you to know, it preaches. How should a believer be baptized? Romans in chapter 6, don't turn there. By immersion. The word baptizo means to immerse. 88 Anglican scholars, every one of them agree. The word means to submerge. There is no picture in sprinkling. For the New Testament church, baptism doesn't add grace. Doesn't make you somebody. Being born into the family of God, man, that's where it's at. Now you can choose to obey him or disobey him. And you're saying, well, I want God's blessing. Because he's not going to bless over the top a disobedient child of God. So you surrender to baptism and you're not ashamed of Jesus. And God blesses you for it. Jesus was baptized as our example to fulfill prophecy. We don't have time to look at any of these. He was presented as the Son of God to Israel and to the world. At his baptism, this is my beloved son. The very Son of God. Oh, here's something here. Jesus didn't need to get saved. For those that say baptism is salvation, Jesus did no sin. He was the very Son of God. When he approached John the Baptist, John said, oh, I'm not baptizing you, Jesus. You ought to baptize me. And he said, Scripture must be fulfilled. He fulfilled prophecy. He fulfilled all righteousness. He is the head of the church. He was baptized not to wash away sin, but that we might identify with him. So when Merle Amundson put me underneath the water, and it was a great experience for me, and I got baptized as a junior high boy, man, it meant everything to me. I was telling all my peers, I'm with Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I belong to him. Now, I baptized people here at Duke's Lake, at Kinross Lake. Oh, man, minnows, they were nasty back in those days. You had to keep your feet moving. Nobody could see your legs. You had to keep them moving all the time because they were taking bites out of you. Did I baptize anybody here in Kinross? Remember those minnows? Man, they were bloodthirsty. You paid a price to get baptized that day. Yeah, in April. Yeah. And me more so because I was in there the whole stinking time. I baptized in horse troughs. We used to have a homemade baptistry here that sounded like thunder every time you got in it. It held about 500 gallons. I'm not kidding. And the sides were a little bit welded together by a man in the church who didn't know what he was doing. You'd walk down there and go, whoa, 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 like that all the time. And the men of the church used to love to put ice cubes in there the night of baptisms. You know, and I'd look down there and see those ice cubes. You jerks, man, I love you. But I baptized in swimming pools. I baptized in Lake Huron and Lake Superior. Lake Superior is the ultimate. Those are quickies. That's what that is. Scurry in and scurry out. Didn't add grace to anybody. And it was people born again and not ashamed to be with Jesus. Let me just end with this. Number one, go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Those of you that are contemplating getting baptized, I know some of you are, you've already told me that, and that's wonderful. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Those of you that need to get baptized and you haven't surrendered to the truth of God's word in that area for whatever reason, number one, I want to tell you, don't be afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Don't be afraid. Number two, don't be ashamed. Look at the very next verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be afraid of getting up in front of people. When people get baptized here, I make it real easy, man. All you got to do is acknowledge you're born again. I do all the talking, or Pastor Josh or Pastor Bill, they do all of the talking, and then you get baptized. Number two, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't blush to speak his name. Don't be afraid to stand up and be counted on his behalf. And then number three, don't be silent. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Baptism is a sermon. Tonight, if people get baptized tonight, they're going to be preaching a sermon without saying a word. They're saying, I'm in. I belong to Jesus. I'm born again. And I identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I know some of you grew up in denominational churches, and I understand what that's all about. You say, man, that just sounds so foreign. Let me assure you of something. Amen. That is Bible. Amen. It is Bible. It didn't come from Rome. It didn't come from Salt Lake City. It comes from the Word of God. It didn't come from Princeton or Harvard. It comes from the Word of God. It's called believer's baptism, and the way it's always been since Acts and chapter 2. And you have a chance to obey him and know what it's about.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.